Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I think we will probably know in the first 10 seconds of this call here how to better handle the advice, because I have no idea how old she is. Okay.
But the voice disguiser makes everybody sound 12, so we have to ask.
Good morning, Stephanie. You're on the voice disguiser. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Stephanie, can we ask you right off the gate how old you are?
I am 20 years old.
20 years old.
20. 20. Okay.
Okay. And you're going to have to speak up a little bit because the voice disguiser brings your voice down?
Okay.
So what's up with mom's here?
She's messing around.
I'm so sorry.
And you're 100% sure of that?
Yes.
How do you know?
At first it was like, you know, I know that she's just being different. And since she's done it before and she has already told me about it, I could pick up the signals faster now than I could before.
Okay, let's use this for our jumping off point for a second here. All right, so as fact, she's had an affair on your dad before, and she confessed to you about it, or did you catch her?
Well, there was a big ordeal happening, and, you know, my dad tripped out, and he left, and she flat out told me, if he wants to know, this is what I'm doing, but she didn't tell him, she just told me.
Okay. That's a tough thing to burden your daughter with.
She just plain out told me, and I was like, I was just quiet, and I was like, okay, I already knew. And she was like, well, how did you know? I'm like, you were just acting different. And I could tell. You know, when I was in high school, I know when people are cheating on people, you just see those signals.
And you're starting to see those signals again here.
Mm-hmm.
What would be, can you give us a, for example, signal that you've noticed lately that was similar to what she did before?
Well, she gets on the phone and talks to somebody, doesn't say any names, and then immediately as she gets off the phone, she deletes her call. Mm-hmm. And it's a number she dials. It's not a number that's saved onto her phone.
Mm-hmm. You mean she dials goes back and deletes it out of her pending calls or whatever?
She also deletes text messages and stuff.
Do you live with both your parents?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you see it in the house and in the car and wherever else?
Yes, I do.
Do you think your dad already knows?
No, because if my dad knew, we would know, because my dad would not keep his mouth shut about it.
Mm-hmm. You must be so angry at your mom right now.
I am. I'm so angry.
So I guess the advice that we're looking for here is if you're 20 years old and you know one of your parents is having an affair, what do you do about it? Do you go to the parent that's having the affair? Do you go to the parent that's not having the affair? I mean, what do you do?
And it's important
to know
that she lives with them.
Yeah. 404-741-Q100. What's that?
I'm sorry. I just saying that that's so unfair. It's like Bert said earlier, that's a burden on you that shouldn't be there, you know?
And I'm sorry if you told us already. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do. I have one brother.
Is he older or younger?
He's younger.
What is your relationship like with your mom?
Well, it used to be very good till the first time, and it's just completely changed. Like, I talk to her, but I don't have the same kind of relationship with her, and I really don't tell her much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, we don't really talk as much.
And what about with your dad? Now,
my dad? Well, me and my dad never really had that father-daughter relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like we're being a little bit more close because I don't talk to my mom anymore.
So her infidelity is actually bonding you with your father more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel bad that I know this and he doesn't. And like when I'm talking to him, it makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking to him and it's like he doesn't know what's happening and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts.
Here's Susan, who wants to be on the Voice Disguiser also. Hey, Susan, go ahead.
Hey, I've been through the same thing. If you know that your mom is cheating, I think your dad has an inkling about it. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do. I've been through the same thing. for a long time, my dad was cheating on my mom. He tried to play, you know, the mind games that, you know, she didn't trust him or whatever. But one day I called up his cell phone and I heard him having sex with some other person. I ran upstairs. I gave my mom the phone because he tried to cut the phone off, but we could still hear him. So we rushed down because they're separated to his apartment and busted him. And, you know, he felt really cheap about it, but, you know, he's still going to do what he's going to do. And I've always felt when I was a child that he was cheating, you know, and you can't, once a cheater, always a cheater. They really don't care, you know, and he'd go back and forth between my mom and this other woman, you know, and it really doesn't matter. They're selfish. And, you know, they're a liar. And I do feel closer to my mom because of it. And I don't really trust my dad anymore. And so I don't think she does either.
She should tell her dad or she should confront the mom?
I guess you could try and confront the mom, but she's going to continue to do what she wants to do. I mean, what can you do? Can you say to your dad? You know, I could never really get through to my mom. She's still going to, you know, feel that there's some type of hope for their relationship when there really isn't. And that's the only reason that I confronted him the way that I did, because I thought, okay, now finally she can see the type of person that he is.
Stephanie, what do you think is going to be your mom's reaction if you go to her and tell her you know?
I have no clue. She'll probably just deny it. And then I don't know. I really have no idea.
Hey, Jennifer, good morning. You're on
Q100. Hi. I think you should tell your dad, because my mom cheated on my dad before, and she ended up moving us in with this guy. Mm-hmm. And we broke them up. We terrorized the crap out of him. We shot his windows out with BB guns.
Oh, Lord.
We just did everything we could to break them up.
You are like that, like a redneck with infidelities, like a gremlin with water.
I don't really know what that means.
A little thing, you fire it up, get it wet, and it loses its mind.
You feed a gremlin after midnight.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Hey, Tasha, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm kind of in the same situation, but the difference is my mother actually had to move out of state to get a job, and it happened out there. Mm-hmm. And when she came back, I found videos on her cell phone.
Oh.
I confronted her about it before I confronted my dad, and she swore she would stop. And come to find out, when I was looking for something, I found another cell phone, because when I found it on our cell phone bill the first time, I told her that I was going to be watching her. I was going to be making sure that she wasn't doing this and lying about it, that I was watching the cell phone bill, and that if I caught it, I was going to tell. So she swore she'd stop. Well, she just went and got another cell phone and did it from there and moved back again. So I let it go. But my sister tells me not to tell. You know, everybody just tells me don't say anything because, you know, my dad's 51 and my mom's like 40-something, so they're going to do what they want to do. And
here's a major difference, though. Here's a major difference. Like, Stephanie, you don't really have any proof that your mom is screwing around. So if you go to your mom and you say, look, I know you're screwing around, she's going to say, no, I'm not. And you're going to say, yes, you are. And she's going to say, no, I'm not. Then you're going to end up going to your dad, but you've got nothing. At least the others, unfortunately, had videos or emails or texts.
Well, she does have something. Like, if she's making those phone calls, even if you delete the number out of the phone, it's still on the bill. If you get, you know, you can get a detailed,
when that whole thing happened last time, she went and she was like, well, I'm tired of your father being all nosy and everything. And she changed her billing from paper to electronic. So the bill doesn't come to the house.
But it still exists. So maybe
my dad can't get a hold of it because she's got a different password on it because she pays the bill.
So it's in her name.
Okay, while that's going on, he's got to know.
You would think, right?
He's got to know something is up.
Yeah.
All right, let's rattle through these here real quick. We can only take a couple more. Lisa?
Hey, this is what you do. You said that she has no proof. So, I mean, if her mom's going to be a child and go behind somebody's back with infidelity, you tell your mom that you overheard a conversation. You know she's cheating. And if she doesn't admit it to your dad, then you're going to go to your dad. Give her an ultimatum. If she's going to be a child, then act the same way she does about it.
You're scared of what he might do, though, right? You think he's going to split, and then it's all on you, which it really would not be.
Yeah, it's not. That's not what I'm really worried about, is that, you know, I'm 20 years old. I'm not going to be living here any longer, but my brother, you know, he'll have to deal with it. He'll be around all of this mess.
Ooh, that's a tight spot.
I don't
want
to do that for him.
How old is he?
He's 17, but
he's got a couple more years, probably.
Yeah.
I wish there was one call coming in more than the other, but, you know, they're all sort of separated. Tell them, don't tell them, tell her, don't tell her. Hey, Keisha, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? Love the show, by the way.
Thank you.
I suggest that to the caller, she should tell her dad what's going on. What happened to me, basically, I was a child of divorce because of this whole cheating situation where my dad cheated on my mom. The doctor's note was coming to the house. I confronted him about it, come to find out that the young lady he was having the affair with got pregnant. So I actually have a sister that's now 17. Mm-hmm. From, you know, a non-wedlock marriage, basically. So I suggest you tell, because you never know what, you know, you don't know if your mom is wearing protection, yes or no, and you might hurt your younger siblings to know that, you know, your mom is out there doing this, because really and truly it did hurt my younger siblings, mm-hmm. because I have two younger brothers that's younger than me.
I think if it's me, I probably end up going to my mom and saying, look, you got to do something about this. I know what's going on. So how do you want to handle this? I put it in mom's court.
Yeah, and I don't know the thought, because I have no, you know, experience with this, but is it necessary to have to go and confront it direct on like that when you said that she has no proof, or just go to the dad that you're closer with and say, I'm concerned about y'all's relationship. Is everything okay? Well, and that way you can tap into whether he has an idea that there's a problem.
And what if he does the right thing that a dad should probably do and go, yeah, everything's fine. Nothing you need to be concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think she's got to do something, because she's obviously at the point where she's seeking out our advice. So it's like this bubbling thing constantly going inside of her. I don't think you can do nothing. I think you have to do something. Talk to one parent or the other, or a counselor or something like that, because you can't keep it the way it is.
Yeah, Stephanie, it's all the calls are split. I wish that it was 75-25, but everybody is sort of saying, everybody's got different opinions on it. I mean, you're on your own. You're going to have to trust 50, your own 50. Gut on this one. Sorry, I wish we had something more concrete.
Good luck.
And I'm sorry that you feel the burden of not only this, but protecting your little brother. I mean, everything is on you. And so there's a part of me that's like, just be honest. Like, go to your mom and say, this is what I'm having to deal with right now, and how do you want to handle it?
Sucks.
It's because the burden needs to be put back on your parents and off of you, you know?
Yeah, this is going to be real hard. You don't want to meddle in their problem.
Sure.
But it's your problem too now. So you're not meddling.
Now let's check back with you a couple of weeks, find out how everything went, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, good luck. Bye-bye.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, who came strong on this in the meeting yesterday?
I think Jen made the statement, but I agreed with her passionately, because even though it's not something you think about all the time, it's a very valid point.
Did you say it about doctors initially?
Yeah, it was initially about doctors. I'm trying to remember in what context it came up in the conversation, but I've always thought that doctors were a little bit more socially awkward because they miss a huge chunk of their social life. Because guess what? They're in school and residency and whatever else for like 10 or 15 years. So they aren't like out. They're home studying and like becoming amazing, incredible citizens of society. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, what they do is so specialized and so takes so much knowledge. I mean, I have a friend that went to graduate school for medicine. He's not a doctor, but just the extent of knowledge he had to get through to get through that graduate program. Like, I can't even imagine what a doctor would do. And so I think at the end of all of that, you're 12, 13 years later, and you don't really know how to be social.
Really? I've never thought of that as far as doctors go, but I mean, I think the stereotypical one is like
computer tech.
Yeah, that I could probably agree on, but outside of that, I'm not sure.
Like, you've never, because we have a few friends who are doctors, and I can think of...
Socially challenged doctors.
Yeah, but I can think of...
And of course it doesn't mean all, right, but a lot.
I think if we were to make a list of the doctors that Jessica and I know well, I would say that it's a short list, like only one or two of them that we have hung out with socially and had there not be a weird something. But the majority of them, like they either don't laugh or they don't.
Maybe you're just not funny.
Or they're a little too close to you, or they're a little...
Stick around, linger yes. a little too
yeah.
long.
Like, I mean, I just don't think...
Won't complete sentences.
Right. And I don't think it's anything like... negative against them. Like, I didn't think about the reason until Jen brought it up.
Yeah,
about the schooling.
I mean,
but
yeah,
are there any others? I mean, those are the only two. And I'm not even totally on board on doctors.
Yeah, because I haven't had the same experience with doctors. But
you guys were way more passionate about this yesterday.
I think doctors inside of an office building or inside the hospital. I mean, Melissa, you have to go once a week to see your doctors.
No, once a month, but I see him quite a bit.
Quite a bit, right? So,
well, Melissa has to be careful how she participates in this conversation.
Well, no, I mean, in all seriousness, I've been right in social. Out. I mean, it must transplant doctors are not socially awkward. I can tell you. I mean, because the doctors I know at Piedmont are pretty hilarious. So,
see, and I think too, like the doctors that I have are great inside the doctor's office, mm-hmm. but put them in a bar or a nightclub or whatever, and
you
then
know,
it's a
in
different
the real
scenario.
World,
right?
Take them outside and
take them outside of the doctor's office or the hospital, and it's just a little bit different.
I think
different experience. Yeah, because my doctors don't fit that category.
I just haven't hung out a lot with doctors outside of hospitals, so I wish I could contribute.
I think
I'm trying to think of other, as a general statements, professions that would be socially awkward. Radio guys, I got to tell you.
Uh-huh.
Really?
We were just at a convention.
There's a lot of radio guys who don't
really?
Know.
They're awkward on the air, and they're just as awkward off the air. Definitely, see.
Well, they hide behind their microphone.
I think there's some...
yes.
True.
I think there's some level of engineers, and it's probably mm-hmm. for the same reason, where you get into a certain... You know, high level engineer, and
right.
I think
personality types are attracted to certain.
Maybe that's it.
And I think writers sometimes are socially mm-hmm. awkward.
Yes.
Is it professions where you're pretty much just one on one with non humans? So
when
if you're working on computers,
like a librarian,
working with books or writing, you're just it's you and the paper,
right?
You know,
writers always try to speak like they write. Too, and that doesn't really.
It only
translate.
Works for John Mayer. Good morning,
no,
Katie. You're on camera.
I'm telling you, it doesn't. No.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, I was gonna say I have my best girlfriend. Her father-in-law is a coroner in a South Georgia town, and he is weird.
Yeah, I get it.
But here's the thing, though. Like,
they
you
just
know,
work with dead people, and when you talk back, they don't know what to do.
Well, the problem here is that one bad coroner right. can brand an entire yeah. industry for her. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. this guy's so socially awkward, she assumes every coroner
right.
is like that now.
Yeah.
So true.
That's funny. Whoa, it's a body that's talking.
Yeah.
Ooh, what do I
hey,
do
wait, stop. What are you doing? Stop. What are you? Don't cut me open.
Hey, Patrick, good morning.
I'm live.
Good morning, guys.
Hey,
good
morning.
I have missed you guys. I've been out of town for 7 months on a job, and coming back and listening to you every morning has been the highlight of my return.
Oh,
thank you, man.
We were
cool.
just talking about you, Patrick, how we've been missing you as well.
My brother is a doctor, and he is a specialized. He's an allergist, so he had 4 years of medical school, 3 years of residency, and another 3 years of a fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, yes, my brother is, without a doubt, one of the smartest guys I know, married, 7 kids.
Whoa.
And, yes, completely awkward around a large social setting. He tries. You can tell that he's trying.
Well, not only does he not have all that education, but ever since he got out of school, he won't get off his wife. So he's not really not socializing at all.
She can't keep her hands off of him. It's not his fault.
Do you know another doctor, though, that is socially awkward? Because I think what I'm trying to say here, it's like a name. Like, if you date somebody mm-hmm. and your experience with that name is so bad,
right.
then you'll never date another Mike ever again based mm-hmm. on that one experience. Your brother is so socially awkward, you're assuming every other doctor is socially awkward also.
Well, yeah, because my children's pediatrician actually is a friend of my brother's that went to medical school together. Mm-hmm. And we have gone over to his house for their children's birthday and vice versa. And he sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, just everybody, you can tell.
Think about that, Bert. 3 years of medical, well, was it 4 years of medical school? And that's after 4 years of college, right?
Correct.
So you have an undergraduate degree.
And when you're in undergraduate.
4 years of medical school, 3 years of a residency, and 3 years of a fellowship. Yes. Add it up.
And when you're in undergraduate school, you know you're going to medical school, so you're not going out.
You don't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to think of the seven doctors I deal with on a consistent basis. Only one is socially awkward, and I'm being as honest as I can be.
Mm-hmm. I can
so it goes back on Bert saying, well, you know, like, it, you know, depends on who you know, but I just don't see it.
Therapists.
Therapists.
Awkward I would say,
socially.
Yeah.
I mean, not trying to worry you, Melissa, but I don't think you have good doctors. Because they clearly
because
they have great personalities. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
I mean, don't ever go see them again.
They're not serious enough about what they're doing because they actually laugh and tell jokes.
Right. Like, I don't even think I would guess one or two of them probably aren't even real doctors. Like, they're like, yeah, I know where the kidney goes. It's there, something like that. It's the one that's smaller than the liver.
Hey, Brian, you're on Q100. What's up?
Hey, good morning. I've got three of them. I just want to hear you guys what you think about them. People in accounting, auditors, internal auditors, and funeral home directors.
I don't know about auditors.
I agree with accountants.
And he's gone.
Accountants.
Yeah. I said what I needed to say. I'm gone.
Yeah. I agree with accountants.
I think Brian was socially awkward, the guy who just called us. The
guy's name Brian.
He's an accountant.
I went out with two morticians, believe it or not. Two
what?
And yeah. You'd think that you only get one of those in a lifetime, right? I got two.
What's a mortician?
Those are people that work on dead people.
Same
they
as
do
the coroner?
Makeup.
Yeah, do the makeup and all that stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Ew.
They paint the
ones
faces.
In hospital, ones after you leave the hospital and go to the home.
Dude, how do you find morticians?
They both, one I went to high school with and then stayed in touch with at college. And the other one, this is not going to surprise you, I used to work with at Taco Bell. That's where all the hot chicks hang out.
So she was
all
like,
the future morticians hang out at Taco Bell.
So while she was going to mortician school, she was stuffing burritos?
Yeah, she was doing both. Both socially awkward, but both privately kind of nutty.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a good way.
She's probably doing weird things to the dead people.
Oh, come on. Be nice.
Hey, Mike, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
Hey, I was thinking, what about high school janitors? I always had the weird ones who would just kind of stare at you. Yeah,
That one's going to be tough to debate right there. I think that's pretty stereotypical.
I don't know why I was thinking about that the other day, but I remember Mr. Hoover, who is, you know, our middle school janitor, which means he was always in the boiler room. What is a boiler?
I know what a boiler is, but you don't want to know what he was doing down there.
Well, yeah, I know what he was doing. He was filling the 5-gallon bucket up with sawdust, waiting for the next person to puke.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
On the overall scale, though, I think like shop teachers are more awkward than janitors.
Shop teachers are awkward.
I had to take a shop. Anybody,
band directors, you know, science teachers.
You know what the deal is with a shop teacher? They went on to aspire to be like a mechanic or have their own furniture shop, and they've just been... You know, they have to resign themselves to the fact that they're teaching a bunch of yahoos how to use a, you know, bench saw.
You're on The Bert Show.
So the question comes up is we wanted to find somebody that would admit that they only date married guys.
Mm-hmm.
It took us a while to find it. I think we got it. Good morning, Q100.
Hello.
Hello. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Thank you. Yes, I only date married men, and actually I have a child by a married man, and that's just all that I care to date because I feel like, I don't know, it's more of a challenge to me because there must be something in that man that someone likes that attracted them to that man, and it's like a challenge to me to try and find what that quality is.
Whoa.
Are you trying to take him away?
No, I don't want to take them away. I don't want to do that. Once I find out what it is and what, you know, is so attractive about them, I kind of move on to the next one.
Whoa.
So you get a man.
Wow.
You get him to fall in love with you. You fall in love with him. You realize that the big quality is anything but loyalty. And then you, like...
Cut him loose.
Okay, I'm bored with this.
What qualities, like, for instance, what qualities have you found in some of these men?
I know you won't believe it, but loyalty is one.
Come on, man.
Just really good friendship, companionship, people that make you laugh, people that can comfort you.
Let's focus on that first one.
Yes.
How can that be like a major quality for you if it's obvious?
Well, it's the way that they make you feel when you're with them. I know that he is not being faithful to his wife when he is with me, but I feel like he's being faithful to me.
So do you think he's capable, these guys that you date, are they capable of dating somebody behind your back?
Probably so, but I don't necessarily. If I don't know about it, then it doesn't bother me.
Would that make you mad if you found out that a guy that you were exclusive with, a married man that you were dating exclusively, had a second girlfriend that you didn't know about and you discovered?
No.
That would not make you mad at all?
No, I would just move on.
Does the wife of the married guy that impregnated you know that you had his...
Yes, I called and told her.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Yeah. Why?
Are they still married?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you tell her?
Because he was in denial about it, and he didn't want to admit that it was his child, and I felt like the truth needed to be told, and we had DNA testing, and it is his child, and I just felt like she needed to know what she was dealing with, so I called and told her.
If he just would have given you, like, the cash to take care of the baby, would you have gone to his wife?
Probably so.
Do you go to all the wives?
No, just that one.
Oh, God. Did you intentionally try to get pregnant?
No, it was an accident.
Well, I mean, it's not really an accident, right?
Well, no, I guess not, but it happened, and now I have a child who's, you know, in high school, and, you know.
What does your child know who daddy is?
I'm sorry?
Does your child know who daddy is?
Yes, he does know who he is, but he's never met him.
Mm. And
does he refuses to have anything to do with him.
Does your child know how you live your life?
Not really. He doesn't know that they're married. It's not like I bring a different guy home all the time. It's, you know, I may date a guy for 6 months and then, or a year, and then move on.
And you introduce these married men to your child?
Well, he doesn't know that they're married. I'm just, you know, and it's not anything like every week there's a different man at the house. I very rarely bring men over to my home.
Wow.
I'm curious, if you only date married men, how do you find them?
Different ways. I mean, police officers, there's just different ways you can meet them.
You just see that they have a wedding ring on, or like, I'm curious on how do you determine, okay, he's married, I'm going to continue to talk to him.
Yeah, that's the time they wear rings, yeah.
So no single guys have the qualities that a married guy has?
No, they probably do, but it's not a challenge to me because, you know, if I can find out what quality that married man has that, you know, someone was attracted to, I want to find out what that is.
How many of these married guys that you date inevitably end up getting caught by their wives?
I would say probably only a couple have. And that's been over about 15 years.
Out of how many have you dated, would you say, over the past decade and a half?
Probably, I would say 15.
Okay.
For women who are listening right now who are married, how do they affair proof their marriage? How do they make sure you don't get to their husband?
I believe it comes down to the bedroom. Most men aren't getting satisfied in the bedroom, and they feel like they need to get that, and they go somewhere else.
Look, what she said there is really important. We've talked about this before, and we've had guys on, and we asked the question, look, if everything else is going wrong in your relationship, but your sex life is good, will you cheat on your girlfriend or your wife? And 90% of the guys said, so long as the sex is good, I'm sticking around. This is scary. That must be so scary for a woman to hear, who is so much more emotionally complex than that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that it all boils down to sex in the bedroom.
Because I'm curious.
Basically, doing it. As long as you're doing it, good.
If you're not having sex, then he's having sex with someone else.
He is getting it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because he's tired. It's not because he's not in the mood. It's not because he has a headache. It's because he is getting it somewhere else, and it is good. It's better than it is with you. That is why you're not getting it.
I'm just curious, like, for guys who have had women cheat on them, is it the same reason for women? And I would probably think not.
No, I think you hear most
more
women.
Emotional.
And I hear a lot of women say, well, you know, I put up with his stuff so much that now was the time. You know, it inevitably was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they sort of justify it in their minds, just saying,
it seems
like
I took up
all that crap
build
for
up.
So long. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hope to ever marry one of these guys?
I wouldn't marry someone who is currently married. I mean, you know.
Well, obviously, but I mean.
Where I, you know, want to change what I do, and I may want to find someone that's single. But no, I would never make someone divorce their wife and marry them, because I would know that he's probably going to do that again to me. So I would not do that.
This is a sort of complex question here, and I'm not really sure that you can answer it. Are you saying that these dudes mostly fell to you because they weren't getting any sex, or the sex that they were getting was just bad and boring?
Probably just bad and boring. That's monotonous.
I think it's funny how you say that you wouldn't marry a guy who is married and divorced his wife for you because he would do it to you, but yet the reason you're attracted to him is because you think they have better qualities than the single guys.
Not that they have better qualities. It's just a challenge to find out what the qualities are that some woman in particular was attracted to him about.
Wow. All right.
Wow,
you are a fascinating creature.
Well, she called up and opened up because I think there's so many other women out there that were too chicken to call us up. So at least I commend you for calling and being open with us.
And I think, I mean, if you were listening closely, you got something out of there. I mean, she's telling you if you want to really protect your relationship, it unfortunately with guys, it boils down to sex, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right,
bye-bye.
And I'm fascinated I call people chicken. I did it twice. I called the woman chicken. Like, am I fine?
Well, you didn't call
grade?
Her yeller.
Yeah.
So.
Yeller? Chicken.
Stupid. Hey, Mary, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I just wanted to call because I hear these women calling who only date married men, and it honestly just makes me sick how they can be that selfish because I'm 25 years old and my dad is cheating on my mom and they have no idea what they're doing to these families. And I don't care if they date married men with children or not. It's just disgusting. It makes me not want to get married. It makes me not believe in marriage.
Well, I think it gives a bad, I think a lot, so many of the conversations we have on air, because I don't date men. So from the outside looking in, I find that it gives guys such a bad name. You know, like I feel like if I was straight that I would be really, I don't know if I would be able to trust men. And so
based on this show.
You know, I mean, I'm serious.
It goes both ways, though.
I don't think so.
It goes both ways,
but I think that in general, I think that there are so many women who don't trust men because they think all men cheat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, I mean, we could always do this. Yeah. We've done this before where there are some women that are like, I know he's going to cheat, so I'll just, that's just part of a guy's nature, so I just put up with it because I know. It's just sad.
I couldn't live with that.
Listen. It's the Burt Show.
I am fascinated by the fact that it is still embarrassing to purchase anything that has to do possibly with sex. You know, any kind of sex product. Because we've talked on the show about how there are so many people. I may be the only female in the room that has no problem going to a sex, you know, store that deals in those products. But for some reason, when I'm outside that sex store, because, I mean, I don't go often. But when I do go, I will go, and I'm fine with it. I'm not embarrassed when I go in there. But for some reason...
You're not looking down, trying to avoid eye contact with everybody.
No, I'm usually with somebody. We're laughing or we're, you know, having a good time or whatever, because probably making fun of the guys that are in there.
Sure.
Usually with their, you know, heads down. Guys never come in twos into the place. They come in by themselves.
You got to be really careful about what section that you're passing through. Some you go pass through quickly.
Yeah.
Others you don't have to.
So I talk about that like, you know, what's the big deal? Well, then I go into just a regular drugstore where there's other products in there. And for some reason, I get embarrassed because I was at Walgreens the other day and I tweeted about this because it was almost very Murphy's Law. If something's meant to go wrong, it will in my life. So Katie and I are in Walgreens just running errands, and then we are at the impulse aisle right there at the checkout, and there was a product we had seen on TV, so commercials work. There's some KY product that's supposed to enhance female whatever.
Hey.
So,
is that the one that warms up?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know.
I've seen ads for that.
I don't know because we have, you know, she hates me talking about this because, I mean, yes, we're adults and, you know, we buy products sometimes. And so does everybody.
That scared the hell out of me.
So does everybody. So anyway, so there's this product, this KY product, and it was right there with three or four other KY products right there next to the gum and the Spearmint, whatever. So we're buying other things, and it was really... Katie had all the stuff that she was going to buy, and she said, I'm not putting that in my pile. I'm not putting that in there. I'm not buying that. I'm like, you know what? Fine. I'll do it. So I grab it, and so she decides that she's going to get in front of me, and she's going to pay for the items, and she actually takes off and gets out of the store.
She pretends like she doesn't know you.
She pretends that she does not know me.
She's a KY coward.
She's a KY coward. That's right. She actually took her bags, and she went to where in the front of the store there are, you know, like news like the AJC and USA Today and all that stuff. So she thought that it would be a quick process, so she'd go and look at the paper, and then may halfway in between lukewarm, like I'm my one foot out the door, but one foot waiting on you, honey, and I'm standing there. So and then she makes me feel awkward, so I grab a chapstick with it, like the cashier cares that I'm buying anything else.
No, she's probably thinking, where are you putting that chapstick?
So I get to the counter thinking this is going to be a quick purchase, so I put the KY thing, I don't even know what it's called, but it's in a black box, and so I put it on the counter with my chapstick, and then of course she has to do something at the moment, so she leaves me standing there for at least 30 seconds, which seems like
picking
an
out a
hour.
Bag of Skittles,
and
put that over.
And there's people, behind me, and I thought, and then I start, you know, kind of blushing because I thought, well, this is, you know, buy this KY thing. So now I'm starting to get embarrassed because Katie's made me feel self-conscious. And then all of a sudden she tries to ring me up, and then there's no tape in the cash register.
Oh, no.
So she has to call the manager over to go replace the tape in the cash register. So I'm standing there for about 10 more minutes because there's never a manager that is absolutely immediately available at a drugstore. So by that point, Katie has started the car, and I think she's already gone down and threw cab fare at me.
You bought $340 worth of other items
just to hide it. But I did, I mean, it's still in the bag, probably in the trunk of my car. So it has not been used because I think by that point I thought, I cannot believe I just put myself in this situation and threw it in the trunk. But yeah, so I got embarrassed at the drugstore because, of course, the tape runs out when I walk up.
You
got
to get that out of the trunk of your car right there, because that is Dateline material right there. Normally there's a bottle of that stuff in there.
But then
happens if you just get bumped? Like you're in a wreck and you're bumped and the trunk pops open.
But then it made me mad that, I mean,
it's like the economy size.
Uh-huh. No, it's not the economy size, but yeah.
You got it
it's
at
with
Costco.
The chapstick. Yeah,
have you ever had a cashier comment on your purchases or ask about them? Because I had a friend who was purchasing, you know, a similar product to whatever you were getting. And the cashier was like, oh, so how is this stuff? Does it work well? Do you like it? Whatever. Was like asking her questions about it.
And the cashier's probably embarrassed about ringing it up. I don't know why we are, though.
It doesn't even have to be a line like addressing you about it. It could just be a sound. Like if that KY goes across and she goes, that's all it takes.
What do you mean, huh?
Are there other applications for that, or does that pretty, like, is that pretty much mean what
I,
it means?
I mean,
that means what it means.
It means what it means? Okay.
I mean, you can use it like...
you could use it as an excuse, right?
Well, maybe like if you got a 10-speed, you haven't ridden in a while and the ball bearings are dry. You'd use it to pack
a little
in there.
KY in there. Yeah.
You meant that literally, not, you know,
ball bearings. That was funny.
Oh, you're such a perv.
I know.
Hey, Chelsea, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be on the show with y'all today.
Thank you for coming on.
So I heard this story that y'all were just telling, and I actually think maybe it's a conspiracy because the same thing almost exactly happened to me.
Really?
I went to, I think, a Publix. It was, you know, towards closing time, maybe 9 p.m., with my fiancé, and we were picking up a bunch of stuff, just normal, whatever, and realized that we were out of condoms. Mm-hmm. So they have them locked in, like, a glass case.
You have to break it open in an emergency.
Alarm goes off. You got to be like, what's her name in that
so
movie?
So we had to track someone down to unlock it for us, and I was embarrassed. So I made him do it while I kind of hid behind something, you know, feel like I'm stealing something. And then we go up to checkout, and for some reason, I don't know why, they bag them separately. You know, you have your soda and whatever, and then they put the condom in its own bag.
That's awesome.
It's going to contaminate your other stuff. I don't know.
It's got to be in solitary confinement.
They forgot to give it to me. So I leave, and I'm driving away, and someone in their car starts waving hysterically at me.
No.
They want you to go back to Publix. You left something.
No.
They sent someone after me to get my to tell me I left my condoms.
Oh,
so I had to go back and have them hand them to me personally.
They're yelling at you in the parking lot. Hey, lady, I got your condoms. You forgot your big exercise.
Don't you want some of that warm and KY also?
I wonder if we could find cashiers that would confess that they jack with customers on purpose when items like that are being bought.
I'm sure her tape wasn't out at Walgreens. She probably just, I wasn't embarrassed until she made me stand there for 10 minutes.
Here's Missa, who works at a Walgreens. Hey, Missa, do you purposely jack with some people that come by to buy the more embarrassing stuff?
Well, if it's a female buying something by herself, I'll kind of just, like, look at her, like, you know, what are you doing with that or whatever, you know, and kind of giggle with her and stuff, embarrass them. But what I called to say was, we have like early 20s people, mid 20s, like my age, come in here with couples and everything. And half the time, the girl will like stand off to the side while the guy is buying the condoms, or she'll just run out of the store before he makes his purchase.
Oh, really? She's that embarrassed by it.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Which they should be proud of that. They're practicing safe sex.
Exactly.
So yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is The Bert Show.